This is take number two, July 30th, 1995. Thank you for the pause.
A couple of days ago, possibly three. There had to be some discussion as to what to do. John was physically failing, and he was not happy. There was controversy and continual discomfort, and everybody is tired, and the court hearings go on, and nothing is ever settled. The judge is extremely angry, but it doesn't get anything done. And now John has to face the fact that they're pulling Eleanor into the courtroom on the 10th of August. So all of these pressures on your head are enough to absolutely stress out anyone in their healthiest state at 20 years old. Much less if you're trying to get your life together and just back on your feet. So he became a bit confused. Had a perfectly wonderful evening. Al was going to pick him up for breakfast the next morning, which he did. But John was totally confused, sick. So Al took him home, fed him, and he responded a little bit, but he was obviously going downhill rapidly. And for fear there was a stroke or something, Dr. Tulanian was called to look at him, discuss, and it was decided that he better be checked at the hospital. So they take him to the hospital. All of his symptoms were known to be chronic or long-standing buildup of some poison substance. But since he was not vomiting or did not have active, uncontrolled diarrhea, which you would get from simply ingesting immediately a poison, they thought perhaps he had a clot in one of his legs. And they were not comfortable dealing with that at this little hospital. So he was sent into Bakersfield. They could find no clot. They have run a battery of tests. I know that he is simply not eating properly and not taking his vitamins. And I'm angry, John. You get those B vitamins into you if you don't touch anything else. John likes donuts better than he likes spelt kernels. And yet, you cannot physically make it in this world today on donuts. Well, we'll just let it go. I just want to wind him up a bit.
Okay, good. Too many donuts.
Sugar is bad for John, but sugar is bad for all of you. You can enjoy your cakes and your donuts and things. Just don't let that be your diet, because even anymore, your vitamins are not as potent as they should be, and you don't know what you're getting. And you cannot just live on these whole grains, because emotionally you can't hack it. That's the only problem, that you can't. But even the foods you're getting now are so stripped of nutrients that this has to be considered. And John is a big man, and too heavy really for his legs, because he was so sedentary while he was put away, that he's got to build back muscle in his legs. And you cannot keep circulation going in those legs while you're sitting watching TV in an easy chair. So we have to just consider what is going on, face what is going on, and then we can work around it. It will be very good for him to be where there are the people. You can't vegetate at home and just exist a few hours in the evening, or once a week to go somewhere, or come over here once a week to do the paper. He needs some stimulation for his mind. At any rate, it all is fine, and we're very pleased that it's working out this well. But I believe that Mr. O'Connell must bring this to the attention of the judge. This was a serious, serious situation. And that is brought on through stress. And I believe that it must be brought to the attention of that judge. Now, what else do we need to discuss? Already, whatever else it was, it slipped my mind. Rick, share with us, Kathy and Kelly.
I think Rick.
Where is Rick? I thought we could do that before we had a break. Maybe we should have a break now.
Commander, were you going to talk about what's going on with that fire?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. The cause of the fire is not going to be told you properly. That was a misaimed weapon, and it's... Some kids will undoubtedly be blamed for it. But no, I'm not going to discuss it more. Not until it's out. If it crests that hill, everybody be especially attentive to it. Especially ones up near Water Canyon and Ed Young. It can really scoot over that hill if the wind's right. But it's got some high incendiary fuel in it, so stay away from it. Don't go over. I'm sure Eric will be over there, but it's dangerous. The clouds of smoke are going to be toxic, so stay away from it. Yes, it is. You can see the particulate burning in the air.
Yeah,
Rick is back.
Okay, then we'll hear Rick and then we'll eat.
I think we'll be running this in the paper this week, but I thought it'd be nice to read. Dear Rick, it has been a while since I've been in contact with you directly, although you are often on my mind and on my heart. I trust you are well and at peace with yourself in spite of the tumultuous whirl of the world. Life has certainly been precarious around here lately, as I am sure you are aware. Thank God for Mark's comforting, all-encompassing love. Despite the pressure, the future is looking bright with promise. I assure Kelly of that truth always. Seeing and experiencing a brighter side of life through her newly gained contacts has given her an inner strength, as only love can do. As you can see by the enclosed letter, Kelly has broken program to write. I am elated. Plus, Mark and I reap the benefit of this accomplishment through the letters she is writing us. For the first time in years, we have written communication. I know you understand how deeply Mark and I appreciate this giant step forward. In view of progress, Kelly's desire and desperate situation has reached unbearable proportions for her. She, too, is experiencing the negatives that accompany success in an effort of this magnitude from all sides, including inside. Our time together continues to be illegally and immorally limited by the state of Tennessee to the point I am placed out of reach when she needs me the most. Our monthly visit time together last week was reduced to not 1.5 hours, but we maximized every second. I held her, comforted her, assured her she is loved, and listened to her eloquently express her need from the depths of her soul. Her need is enormous, Rick, and it is urgent. She knows I am here for her, but is frustrated when we are so cruelly separated at these times when she needs an understanding ear and extra assurances. Her contacts have helped enormously in filling that void. Please encourage readers to continue writing and supporting her now. If possible, please print her letter, which I am sure you will have to edit. I don't think we will. Notice her closing and how she identifies with herself. Once again, she is just like her mother in feeling at home with the name Phillips. She does not identify with Cox any more than I do O'Brien, but we have agreed to drag the names through the muck until she is freed from her past. The state of Tennessee requires me and anyone else who writes to address her as Cox, so I comply, but make my own claims to her by putting O'Brien in parentheses. The fact that she signed this letter as Phillips indicates the depth of her soul from which she is writing. Her appreciation is genuine and runs deep enough to have broken program. but please put a note at the end of her letter that if anyone writes her as Kelly Phillips, she will not receive it. It must be addressed to Kelly Cox, COX. This letter represents an enormous victory for Kelly, an enormous victory for all of us. Thank you for making this possible. In light of truth and love, Kathy O'Brien. P.S. I'm honored by your review of Transformation of America. Thank you, Rick. Contact. This is from Kelly. I cannot express, I will read this exactly as written, I cannot express how happy I am for receiving mail from as kind of people as you all. It is a wonderful thing to know that people actually care and have hearts for other humans besides themselves. Those whom I speak of are not truly human. I could not write you all back individually due to about 3 boxes full of letters to return. The gifts enclosed in the package were very thoughtful. I loved them. For any inquiring minds, I pretty much live for animals. Well, them, my mom, and my dad, whom I can't see, which really sucks, pardon my French. This is by far the lamest note letter I have ever written, so I apologize. I guess it's just because it's kind of hard to write a whole bunch of people I don't know and all together at the same time. Oh, the money order I received helped me for the pens, paper, and envelopes. The money really helped me. I got hygiene items I have needed for a long time. I got a perfect heart necklace from 2 wonderful people in Canada. I wear it all the time. Yes, I'm getting my mail now, unopened. So keep sending, please. Expect more letters from me in contact. Well, I've got to go for now. Much love, Kelly Lynn Phillips. Her mailing address, for those of you who would like to write to her, is Kelly Cox. Second line, Jabnell, J-A-B-N-E-L-L, P.O. Box 690, Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L, Tennessee, 37849.
Anyone who thinks you don't do good, stay away from the cake. You've made miracles. You've made miracles. And that child is one of them, a visible one of them. And you will have recently read Kathy O'Brien's dissertation on her little experience at Bohemian Grove. You have to do something, and you're doing it. And all of the garbage that can be tossed around, all of the accusations are nothing. They have to be responded to, nothing more, and then let them go. Don't waste your time. Spend your time wisely on people like Kelly. In Kelly lies your future. These are the children, and they're here to bring you home, not be used and abused. Let's take a break. Thank you. Some things take longer. I think it's to get through the sugar barrage. Maybe we should talk a little bit about health.
All right.
Also, I need to answer or respond to a couple of questions from both relatively new people to read Contact and to get the tapes and things. And one very graciously asks if we could give a label of one or two or three words to head these tapes. And my answer is no. I can give you three words, the word tapes, but every one of them will bear that word. These are meetings that are not done as lectures. I will from time to time, and I would hope to get to that opportunity to be able to do some, quote, lectures, a little bit of preaching on some of these topics that rush by us. But those plans are what we make while life is happening to us, and life keeps happening, doesn't it?
Yes,
ours is a very physical, very involved mission. We're not trying to proselyte. I think that for a healthy mind and spirit, if you get some kind of a support for your system from a religious aspect, by all means, participate. To go forth and say everything in the Bible is a lie is not so. There's a lot of truth. There's a lot less truth about what was than at first you will believe. So you have to understand that. Do we need a break?
Ron Jackson just called me down the other end and was trying to call in.
Well, I think I'm going to let Rick and EJ take it. There are a lot of things between Ron and myself, and I don't want to involve Dorma in it, so let's just be gracious. I am putting a lot of pressure on him, and it's not fair. So if he calls, let him share with the group. We have what?
Did have.
Well, you don't want it to be called.
Dorma really hasn't gotten over the crash and burn. Right after he says, you know, I'm responsible for you and I'm so relieved to see you on the ground. And she's had to wonder since why. And to whom he is responsible. He assures us that we have a lot of people looking after us. Well, I can do a good enough job if you just cooperate with me. But there gets to be a little bit of give and take. And quite a lot of embarrassment, you know, when you don't do what you have said you can do. Especially in the length of time you said you could do it. It's embarrassing. And yet everybody except him seemed to know that it would take longer. He's back in the world, where life is going on, in spite of what you think or who you are. I don't know whether to wait or go on.
Well,
what would you like to do? What was I espousing?
Help. Some new contact readers' questions.
Oh, wanting to know about the tapes and things. We don't have the kind of meetings that are given to lecturers. We like to make available as we can when other people are giving a lecture or some seminar has taken place or there's some political or patriotic tapes. We like to make those available or tell you where you can get them. Sometimes that's not possible if they're from a radio or television program. Mr. Spence is doing some very insightful work on his own television program, but you don't get it here. This has been a relatively sad interchange with Mr. Spence, I'm not going to mention names. We're working literally with one of Jerry Spence's associates, so I'm not going to say more than that about it. Terry Gross has also called asking if he might take the case. Scott Tipps has moved to France. And there has been a breaking of the relationship with Mortimer, John Mortimer, that most of you know. So it's awkward for Scott. I believe that you'll find he'll be down this week, so all of you can look forward to speaking with him. But it's not suitable the way it is. And Terry would like to become more involved. I would hope that you would be pleased to know that both Lonnie Cleaver, Dr. Cleaver, and Terry both miss you. Now, isn't that interesting coming from an attorney? They didn't say, we miss your money. They both miss you. How do you describe you? If we use the term group of like-minded people, pretty soon it is a fellowship and again dubbed a cult. If we say family, they say, aha, Koresh and his family. Except that you will find nothing out here in this outlying arena that fits anything. Now, maybe some of you would like it to be that way. Audrey probably would like it to be that way this week, while she puts away all of the things for survival that Eric has stored. If you clean out Ecker's attic and Eric's garage, the whole bunch of you could survive for 25 years. But it makes it hard to move. The health of your nation and your population is going to get worse. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what is coming. You see, ones want to deal in either great appreciation of violence, hang on to the guns, hang on to your cash, hang on to everything, do not take the mark of the beast. You don't know what is the mark of the beast. You've got it. So it seems like you can't be very much of a patriot or a nationalist or Republican in the truest sense of the word from the Republic without an ability to defend it. Go on.
Hello.
Hi, EJ.
Hello, Ron.
How are you?
Pretty damn good.
I'm glad I called you because I was disappointed. I've been trying to call you for an hour.
Well, it's a good thing you kept trying.
All right, I
thought
a little.
I hope he too.
Try again. Well, what if you still have to wait for somebody else to give up their time?
Try again?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'll keep trying.
We have these electronic wizards down here.
I see.
And between the seven of us working on this damn telephone, you could imagine what happened.
Well, if I could make a suggestion, send Rick to the back of the room. Rick usually does what he's doing, so.
Well, maybe not.
Okay.
Not so. It was him that disconnected you.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, Commander, and all of my friends in Tehachapi.
Hi.
I'm feeling great. Your Gaia products are the most magnificent things I have ever seen.
Great.
Hey, I was ran down, and Rick brought them over Wednesday or Thursday, and the only complaint I have about them is getting that taste out of my mouth. But other than that, I'm really feeling good. And I'm sure everybody else is going to be feeling great very soon. So what's going on?
Greatness. We were expecting you here to make your speech all afternoon.
Well, if I could have been there, I would have. And you can bet I will be there next weekend.
Oh, good.
And I'm, you know, I'm just about ready to put some faces with some names.
Good.
I mean, I've seen Rick, all I care to. And Doris and EJ are delightful, but they're nothing to write home to Mom about.
But Rick is precious.
Hey, little Ricky and I get along very well. And it's 116 here.
Oh, yeah.
We're about to melt.
Yeah.
So let me know what's going on.
Well, we're just waiting to hear from you.
All right. Is the meeting about over?
Yes.
Just about over.
All right. Well, my friends, I'm looking forward. EJ, be sure and call me after you check in with your facility tomorrow morning.
All right. I'll do that.
I would appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye, all of you.
We'll look forward.
Looking forward to meeting all of you.
I want you to be prepared to talk a little bit about the area of Vermeil Park and
all right.
a few of those things, Ron, when you get here.
Okay.
We need to move right on to that, and it's going to mean a little bit of separation of personnel and parties and so forth.
Fine.
But that's the area. That's where you need to be.
Okay. All right. I will see you then next weekend, my friends.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. We'll look forward to it. What happens is that you wait and wait and wait, and you work and work and work at something, and everyone is right up on the step, including him. And you're dinked around with right until you walked out the door, and then personal problems just flood you, things that seem to be at a distance and were and are, while you're incarcerated, become very prevalent in your face when you're out. And Ron has a lot of those kinds of problems that are going to have to be cleared up, and only he can do it. And maybe it's misleading. Maybe ones hear things they want to hear. And while you are just having a writing relationship, it's all very good. But when confrontation time comes, it isn't good at all. And honor and integrity must take uppermost stance. On the other hand, what are you going to do when you're in a cornered position like, as a matter of fact, Ron is? Commitments are made, but that's all they were. A lot of very foolish things took place, as most ones do in their life. And then you are washed over with the inability to fit that into your little, your little hyper situation. You can be a big shot. You can write about killing presidents. You can write about all of these things in Camelot. And a good bit of it is always the dream. And if you were just writing stories and you're obviously not wanting to give away important information that could get you dead, or ones that are going to read this deaded, you're going to be writing into it your idea of an exciting plot line. So, for goodness sakes, as you read things, measure in your own minds the reasonableness of some of the things that are said and what their reason might be as message value in the exchange. But I'm pretty sure that you can count the days when Ron began to have reality hit. Because it's all right to talk about all these associations, but you see, my agreements, my arrangements are with a much, much higher level of participation than Ron's. And when it is decided that a given person will serve in a given position And there are some in favor of that, some not in favor of that, and your world is in such an incredible mess that as ones from that other side started getting in touch with Ron, he really didn't know what hit him. And he really was put, as I would say, keep her alive, buddy. There won't be any excuses. And you see, you've got all of these things coming into play while you're also trying to get out, start a life, start a republic, answer to the commitments made, and it's 115 degrees in the shade. And the cars burn out. And you're put in a position of not having your own working funds. You're still having to use someone else's. And all of you got so burned by our gentleman friend Gunther that every time something goes onto another credit card, Ron's got to die a little bit, and so does the person putting up the credit card. And you won't know until it's over, will you, how it is. And along these lines, I started before he called, and I'm going to get back to it. Because there is a lot of bullshit still going on about Gunther Rusbacher. And I will tell you now that Gunther Rusbacher is a farce. In his presentation to you, he is completely screwed up. He is a consummate contract con man. I don't care. A lot of you got hurt by it. That does not mean that he did not or will not serve his commission. It isn't yours to judge. And he got completely befuddled and entangled until you end up with a whole con group. All believing the big dream. But you see, I happen to be very close to one such as Alexei Romanov. And there are other ones that are going to fit into these slots. It is going to be through the white Russian community that you regain any kind of freedom in the world today. Jack just said that Sandy's folks came back from St. Petersburg from a little tour and how the town was empty. That is a city in Russia. And you're not going to be given to know all of these things. And yes, you could be more discerning and not get into these predicaments. On the other hand, what you don't know are all these other possible scenarios. For instance, let's just take one or two alternative little scenarios that could have happened with Rusbacher. He must have known something, or he would not have gone to Austria while saying, if I go, I will never be able to come back. That's one. Two, he did go. And he was smart enough to get off the plane, and when he disembarked, he said, I'm a federal agent, which got all the rest in his crew grounded in the airport until they could escort them back out of the country. But there were some interesting ones traveling with him who already had the mafia after them. Now, you think these are funny. Go ahead and laugh. These are Mel Brooks comedies. They truly, truly are. Because one's built in their own minds, their self-importance. Gunther is a total alcoholic. Was on drugs. And so was she. She just called it something else. And they did outrageous things. But as you look at the history, and so comes this humongous file just from the Immigration Service. And still, the articles will come out that, good grief, the Eckers got them in trouble. The Eckers didn't do anything. American Express called at 3 o'clock in the morning and said they're trying to put $20,000 onto your credit card. And we won't allow it. Eckers are with the CIA, blah, blah, blah. Come off it. If Ackers could do a third of the stuff their enemies say, my goodness, wouldn't you be in clover? Or dead, one or the other. You run into these people with these hyper, way out ideas, of which part is partially true. Is Ron Jackson just another Gunther Rusbacher? Well, he certainly got contacts. How do you know that, sir? You don't see, and he's always saying, and they don't happen. Oh, I've seen. You haven't seen. Some of it's fabrication. Some of it's better that you don't know. Most all of it is better you don't know. And it wouldn't be half as much fun as all your speculation. You know, the journey there is half the fun. After you're there, you've got the problem of what to do now that I'm there. But you go back to your purpose. Why are you here versus anywhere else? What did you have there? What is it that you plan to do? There may be little, there may be a lot, there may be nothing. At which point you certainly don't get careless, do you? So what do we do? Exactly what we've been doing. And let it unfold. And stop putting these people in a bad position. Gunther is from the Esterhazy family. And all the talking, all the lying, all the storytelling won't make any difference. He comes from the royal lineage of Austria. But I'm not particularly impressed with the royal lineage of Austria. You're talking about monarchs. And Gunther was far more interested in a coronation in a palace where he can have a blue Danube at his coming out party than he was in anything God had to do. He served the very enemy. And Raelan fed it to him. The very enemy. When he is in his sane mind and his true family and lineage has opportunity to work with him, you may very well be shocked at what comes out. Now let me tell you why you can begin to put little pieces together and know it was all not for naught. A lot of gold was shipped out of the Philippines. I won't tell you how much, when, or what, but I'll tell you that it reached destination. And there was a tremendous amount of it. Part of that was, quote, your, my, our transaction. What went wrong? Went wrong because of foolish mouths, everybody thinking they had a right to know, or a right to tell, or a right to speculate, or somehow it must be mine. Give it to me. No. Your need is not our command. And almost everybody has proven that they are not capable of handling it. Now, what will happen with other Philippine gold? Eventually, maybe it can come to fruition as an El Dorado. But I'm not sure of that because there is so much now involved in the honest, integrity-filled gold. How do you ever get through this other garbage? So what does that have to do with Ron Jackson? Well, he was able to find out in like 24 hours or less from prison that Gunther Rusbacher was over there all right, but they were holding him for entirely different reasons than was being given forth. And he was embarrassing hell out of the government through his antics. And especially his gold-digging blonde. They objected. He was embarrassing the government of Austria through his behavior. And at this point, Ed Cleary was with them. He can vouch for this. On the other hand, when Gunther was saying he had all these billions of dollars stashed, he was talking about gold that literally belonged to the Nazis and had been dumped overboard, and finally some of it had been recovered. Some of it had been stashed in the Philippines. Well, he certainly got his hand slapped over that one. That's a no-no. These bear swastikas from Hitler's service. So now we're in double trouble. And I don't care who Walt Heim is, or the president of Austria, or the king of Austria, or anything that you want to talk about. This is international intrigue. And you're talking billions and trillions of dollars in value on today's market. And the games get ridiculous. So how do we know that there's any contact at all? One of the first things that Ron said to Dorma and EJ was, any time you want to visit Innsbruck, you may use my home. And Dorma is just, you know, about frantic and said, where is Innsbruck? What part of California? Oh, Austria. I have had a trip to Austria offered before. I don't think I want to go to Austria. It's too expensive for me, Ron. But let me tell you something. As a citizen, the man has assets in Austria. A lot of them. A lot of assets.